Okay.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready to roll?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire. Sometimes he's Mr. Giggles, laughs a lot. there it is. Jody, what's up, Joe? How you doing?
We're good, man. Today, it's a different day than normal. We decided to hit the record button on a Friday morning compared to Thursday night, you know, with the some news you're about to drop on us in a little bit. It kind of aided that and my unpreparedness, so it's all good. We figured it out.
Truthfully, it was nice for me because, well, I'll just give the coaching update now real quick. We lost last week in the playoffs, so this was our first week out of season. So basketball season has officially begun in Morton. And so last night, with that being said, and us not having practice and all that stuff that I had to be doing, I actually got to take Jill on a date, which is the first time I've done that since like the summer.
Nice.
So it was kind of nice when you hit me up and you're like, hey, let's go Friday morning. Perfect. Awesome. That is great. So, that's what I was doing last night. So it actually worked out pretty well for me. We went to a place called the Neighborhood Food and Bar.
Okay. Is it like a little dive place or they just call it that? Cause it was like,
it's kind of like kind of classy, you know, kind of upscale, nice little place, you know, got like nice mood lighting, but they still have like the TVs behind the bar. So like you want to catch a game, you know, so there's a little Steelers Browns on, I could still kind of sneak a peek over there. But nice little ambiance. I had the lemon pepper wings as an app.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then I had the cod sandwich, which was pretty good. The only complaint I think I had on that is they put too much of the,
breading.
What do you call it? No, not the breading, the like coleslaw. On it. They did like, you know, coleslaw and tartar sauce and all that.
Yeah,
probably a little too much coleslaw. I ended up taking some of it off. It's just too much for me. But the cod was good, the breading was good, sandwich overall a little messy, pretty good. Fries, excellent fries actually. So yeah, went a little fish and chips and
nice,
had myself a nice night. I think today it's a Friday, don't have a game, don't know what to do with myself. I think I'm
because you're off, right? You don't work on Friday besides the game?
No. We do have a basketball game that we're hosting today, and I'm going to go and do the clock. So I'm doing that. But other than that, not much for me to do today. So I'm thinking putting up Christmas lights today. I think that's what I'm doing.
Ooh, there you go. What kind of lights you got? You got like the one color, multicolor. You got the little light bulbs. What you working
on? Jill's a big proponent of red and white are the only Christmas colors. Maybe green.
No green?
She's okay with green, but she really likes red and white. She thinks that's classy, right? And okay. I told her, I'll die before I put just red and white on our house because that is Ohio State, and I cannot support Ohio State like that. So there's no chance I'm doing that. So she said, well, what about just white? I said, white is boring, but I'll do that. Then she finally settled and said, you know what, fine, get the multicolor. So I got the multicolor.
Oh, there you
red,
go.
Blue, green, yellow, white, whatever, here, the whole nine. So we'll be multicolored. Got some inflatables, you know, the whole nine. Yeah. I got an inflatable Santa playing cornhole, dude. No one else has that. No one else has that. That's
he's
just
throwing
us.
A cookie into the milk jug or what?
Yeah. I'm serious. That's what I got. So our house will be the best one on the block. And I'm very excited to do so. But what's new with you, Joe?
I'm looking for a new job, I guess I should just say. I've been in my current job for 2.5 years. I've been full-time since May. I've been working at In-N-Out for 4 years. And it's like, it's a lot. It gets taxing sometimes, man. You get the extra days off. You're like, you know, this feels nice. I'm not doing nothing, but this feels nice. And so I recently applied to it. The job is called a police cadet. So you'd be a cop for like, you'd be like a, understudy cop. You got to go and learn from them for a little bit, and then they send you off to the police academy for 6 months. And then after that, once you pass or whatever, they would hire you in as an actual police officer. So that's what I'm working on right now. I've been doing my best to go run in the mornings, get dialed back in the gym. I haven't been as strict, so I'm trying to get back in that routine.
Jody the cop.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. We'll find out. The job closes in like 2 weeks from applying, and then I'm assuming you interview, and then if they like you in the interview, you go and do a PT test in the beginning of January. So we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm juiced up for you, dude. That sounds like, I don't know why, but was not expecting that from you. But also, I can see you being good at it.
Yeah, it's funny because
Keeper of the Peace, Jody.
Yeah. Everyone's like,
that'll be added to your title, by the way. Keeper of the Peace.
Well, we gotta wait.
The man born to protect and serve.
Exactly. No, I mean, so, and I, like my current job, I've done it for a total of like 7 years almost, I'd say, through college and now. And it's like, I do somewhat of like police work. We tow cars and we literally put the slow police department on there. Like, I'd say my job kind of, I always call us like the little brother, like the little cousin. We're not directly related, but we do similar work. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's like a nice little plug and play where I got to learn stuff still. Like, I'm not going to know like the bigger scope of having to like go and like do an arrest or something, but I could go and like be able to like do like traffic violations. I feel like that'd be an easy like thing to learn. Mm-hmm. But when I did my ride along a couple weeks back, it was fun to see just like the guy I was with. He's been there for 12 years, what he's telling me. And we had a stop where these two dudes weren't rocking a seatbelt. And to me, I was just laughing because they saw us and we're like, oh, we're not running this light. You know what I mean? But he saw them not wearing their seatbelts. Like they went flying forward. Like, it's crazy what they like, what they're trained to see, and just like what I was doing while just cruising around with them, like two different worlds. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it seems like a nice move, especially because, you know, there's a lot more room for growth in that position, you know, over time compared to where I'm at. It's like I can only go up 2 steps. So we'll see how it works out. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Like I said, Jody, born to protect and serve.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say. Everyone I've told has been like, oh, yeah, like I could see you being good at it. Or even like down the road, you become like a detective or something. It's just funny how
Jody the detective would be. I don't know if we'd be allowed to do this podcast anymore, dude. Jody the detective. That would be top secret stuff right there. You might have to start a true crime pod if that happened.
Oh, that'd be wild. No, I don't even know if,
man,
you could.
If you become
that'd
a cop,
be like afterwards.
That is for sure a new segment, and it's just Jody's cop stories. Like, what's the wild thing? Like, no cap, hats off. Play of the week just is whatever you're doing as a cop.
Well, it's crazy because I had plenty of those just on my ride along. Like,
yeah.
Like, obviously, yeah. I gave you this story right now, the no seatbelt, but. Like towards the end of our day, we were going downtown to go find a specific person. Like I guess they were, you know, using the bathroom and not in the bathroom in front of a restaurant. And so we're cruising around, and I had an idea of who he was talking about just because like I walk around downtown a lot. So I assumed it was one of the people, you know, not in a good spot in their life. And the way he described to me, it made sense. And so we're going, and we got like 2 blocks into the downtown. And he's on the radio, and he's listening. He's like, oh, I could over there right now. We're right here. And they're like, all right, bet. So we, instead of going to the restaurant, we flip back onto the freeway. And he's like, all right, so we got a dude with the stolen vehicle. Like, they're going northbound on the 101. Like, we're chasing after them. All right, bet. And then next thing you know, like we're hitting like the curvy part of like the north, and I guess the dude who stole the car crashed the car, and so that's how they finally got to like stop him. And then, so we get there, and he's like, "Bro, this guy already has a suspended license for stealing cars. He's on parole, and now he stole another one." And it's crazy because it was like a RTA bus, or not, it's a RTA minivan. It was for like disabled people.
Wow.
And so it was just crazy. I was like, how does this work? Like, this dude doesn't care about nothing but stealing cars, I guess.
Apparently. That's wild, dude.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm saying. This is a segment right here. This is a segment. Catching bad guys with Jody. I love it. All right, well, let's transition ourselves into some NFL news. The first thing listed here, I think I want to hear you say, just because
the way I wrote it.
Yeah. I want to hear it. I want to hear it out of Jody. Right. What's going on in the NFL?
Verbatim off the screen. It says Dougie P is defo on the hot seat. Now
I was kind of expecting you to go like British there, like defo on the hot seat.
Oh,
Dougie P defo. And they just played in London a couple times, so you know.
Oh, you know, that's not even why I wrote that, but
yeah.
But no, Dougie P is on the hot seat. They were saying, you know, with the bye week, they might have some time to reflect, get rid of him now. But for the time being, he's still there, and we'll see how it plays out the rest of the year. I don't think he makes it the rest of the year, and if he does, they're just being nice, and he's not calling those shots. I think I would say.
Yeah, I mean, their season, you know, Trevor Lawrence looked like he's headed for surgery. Dougie P probably getting fired. They traded some dudes. Like, it feels like they're getting ready for 2025.
Not just that, they got smoked by the Lions. Like, it's all bad.
They're packing.
Another dude who probably on the hot seat, former Packers coach Mike McCarthy down in Dallas. Have you seen all the memes of them not being able to win at home? They're like, oh, so-and-so. Win in Dallas. They added Jake Paul to that and win in Jerry Lynn.
Yeah. It said something like, it's November. Here are all the teams, the NFL teams with a home win, and it was everyone except the Cowboys.
Yeah. It's bad over there.
It's bad, man. They make it to Thanksgiving without a home win.
Whew. Ooh.
There's one of our coaches on staff is going to Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas.
They're playing who? Washington?
Think so. And I maybe even the Giants. Might be the Giants. But I was like, man, tough game, huh? Tough one to go to. And he was like,
yeah, okay, yeah, I'm not a lot of Cowboys fans.
So what?
What kind of fandom do you have down where you're at? Is it all Dallas? I don't know.
Here's the deal, right? There's not a team close to Lubbock.
Uh-huh.
So it's mostly Cowboys fans, sprinkled in with some Texans fans,
uh-huh.
And then a huge, like, so it's probably like 50% Cowboys fans, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe 10-15% Texans fans. And then the rest, Chiefs fans, because Mahomes went to Tech, and everyone's just a Mahomes fan.
Yeah.
So you just got a bunch of bandwagon Chiefs fans out here because they love Mahomes. So you got a lot of Chiefs and a lot of Cowboys and then a little bit of Texans. So that's probably what you got out here.
I see.
But even the Cowboys fan, they're like, it's weird because they're Cowboys fans, but like most of them are haters. They actually like hate Jerry Jones just like and Dak.
Just a typical Dallas hater, but they're apparently
yeah. The like team. They're a Cowboys fan, but they only talk crap on their team. It's really weird, and there's a distinct like hatred for Jerry Jones in this part of Texas. I don't know. I mean, they just don't like the guy. They think he's awful. Which
fair
the success of this year's team, you could argue not great.
Took him a while to play the man, CeeDee Lamb. He paid Dak a ton of money. Now he's not even playing this year. Like, all bad.
Pay Micah.
Yeah, true. And if that don't happen, the Cowboys went from a little fun downfall to just off the cliff.
Some injury news. We'll just run down the list. Devontae Smith hasn't been practicing a ton for the Eagles this week with a hamstring issue. May or may not be out for Sunday night's game with the Rams. Daniel Jones, I'll save that one. Brock Purdy left. Brock Purdy left Thursday's practice with shoulder pain. So a little bit of a kind of sketchy there. Yeah. CD Lamb also missed Thursday's practice. So you got some dudes who are hurt. Key players for key teams who are going to have some critical games. Maybe not necessarily the Cowboys. The Cowboys, I mean, obviously they have to win. They kind of have to win out to give themselves a shot. So they're missing CD Lamb, already missing Dak. I mean, that team's probably toast. But
yeah,
it may be kind of, is CD going to check it in? Is really more or less the question there. But the one I was going to say, not an injury, however, does have to do with injuries.
Yeah,
Daniel Jones has a $26 million injury guarantee for next year. The Giants have decided they're moving on from him.
Yeah.
And they're going to find a new quarterback in the offseason, and they don't want to have to pay him that $26 million. So in order to ensure he does not get hurt the rest of the season, they have essentially said, you're not only not going to start, you're like fourth string. You're not going to play or get reps in practice at all. In fact, we're going to have you play scout team safety. Which,
that's hilarious. Truthfully,
when teams do this, because who got this done? Who was doing this? This was somebody was doing this. Baker Mayfield in Carolina. Remember, that was happening to him a little bit. He was playing scout defense towards the end of his tenure in Carolina before they just
sent him to the
cut him, and the Rams took him. You know, there's just, I mean, credit to those guys for being willing to help the team in any way possible, swallow their pride, do what is being asked of them. But truthfully, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me, especially if you're saying, hey, we don't want this guy to get hurt. I'm sure it's just walkthrough stuff. It's probably not actually asking him to go play, fly around, play safety.
Yeah,
right? But just in general, like, Just send the guy home at that point. Like, just,
yeah, hey, true.
I don't know. I just think Daniel Jones, not a very good quarterback, but it's not his fault that they paid him that money, and it's not his fault that they gave him that injury guarantee and that they're doing all that. And now for him to kind of be treated this way, I do feel bad for the guy. He has not performed to the level that they need him to, and I understand the Giants' rationale and not wanting him to get hurt, not wanting to pay him, but don't make the guy play scout team safety. I don't know. That's my two cents on that. But just a interesting situation there, one to monitor as the season goes on. And the other interesting part is that they turned to Tommy DeVito, not Drew Lock.
Yeah, exactly.
Drew Lock definitely seemed surprised, might be the nicest way to put it, based on interviews this week. You know, he said he was assured when he was signing with them that he was the number two.
Uh-huh.
Which I think he assumed, you know, makes, hey, I'll get a sense. Shot to play here this year.
Yeah.
And then they skipped over him for Tommy DeVito. And then they signed Tim Boyle to the practice squad to bring and elevated him to be the third quarterback, it looks like. So interesting stuff going on in New York. I wonder if Brian Daboll will survive this, and Joe Shane, if they'll survive this season. Very interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, when I read that line, I started laughing. I was like, how does that even happen where you go from playing quarterback to flipping to safety? You know what I mean?
Funny, again, it's probably just a walkthrough body. He's just standing there as the safety.
Hey, I'm go sure. this way. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. But even still, just like, you can't find anybody else to do that. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, you seen the video of him with his hands in his, like, hand warmer out there?
Watching the practice?
Yeah.
Again, that's got to be tough, man. That there's nothing more humbling than that, I'm sure. You go from starting quarterback, first-round pick, you know, years in the league, to go just stand there
wearing with your
hands in your hand warmer, watch practice, play some scout team safety. Tough scene for him.
Last thing on the Giants, though, they got to be hurting because they got rid of Saquon to keep this guy kind of in a way. And now here they are.
It just goes to show every decision has ripple effects. And yes, signing Daniel Jones to that big contract meant they didn't have the money to pay Saquon. Or maybe they did, but they didn't feel like it would allow them to be as flexible in other positions as they wanted to be. So therefore they let Saquon walk, and you know, clearly Saquon's having a really resurgent year in Philly. He's been healthy. Oh, yeah. He's been playing well. He's doing incredible things. He looks happy. He's playing the best he's played in probably since 2022, 2021. You know what I mean? So they definitely don't look great on that front right now.
Mm-hmm. See, looks like we got a list of some key games this week to keep your eye on for seeding and whatnot. So we got the Rams versus Eagles Sunday night, which you briefly mentioned earlier. We got
big game.
That. Yeah. And the Rams need a win. Eagles also need to win because they're battling for the number one spot, just like the Rams in their divisions.
Mm-hmm.
We got Seahawks, Cardinals, same thing as the Rams, except that's in interdivision. So
NFC West, man. Yeah, NFC West is a bear this year. All four of them can win it.
Cardinals on the road versus Seahawks. I think the line was like 3.5 or something. I still like the Cardinals, just the 12th man. You never know how that performs. And then the weather, it's been rainy everywhere. We saw last night it was snowing. So it's just, you never know. And then
Rams fans are rooting for the Seahawks in that game. The Rams can win. Seahawks win. It puts the Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals in a three-way tie for first place in the NFC West.
Nice. And then we got Packers, Niners, the last leg of that NFC West team versus the NFC North. We got the Packers and the Lions in a race. Packers have been shaky since the second time this fool Jordan Love got hurt. But they're still hanging on in there. Niners.
That Lambo.
Yeah, that's the only good thing. I'm betting on weather than the Packers to win.
The weather. That cold weather. San Francisco is not going to enjoy that one. But again, if San Francisco could win, the Rams win and the Seahawks win this week, all four teams in the NFC West would be 6-5 tied for first place. I mean, that's just an unbelievable – that would be unreal. We'll see what happens with it. But, yeah, like you said, Packers are chasing the Lions. They're still trying to get, you know, not only the division, but, you know, likely the one seed if you can win that division. So, big game for the Packers as well, big game for the Niners.
Yeah, it's funny because on PMT, they were like, I just need to hear one frozen tundra and I'm all in on the Packers.
Yeah.
No one's going to win in the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we got the Harbaugh Bowl Monday night Chargers. And you know what's crazy? I didn't know that was also in L.A. So they got to tear down the stadium late at night and put up the next stadium early morning.
Yeah.
That's kind of a tough situation for them boys.
You know, the good thing, though. The good thing about SoFi is I think a lot of the changes that they do for the games are mostly like digital on all those boards. So I'm sure it's not as bad. The thing they have to change is the field.
No, the field. That was my key.
But everything else is digitally themed, so you can really easily change it from Rams to Chargers.
The store. You got to just grab everything off the shelf and put everything there. Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, the field was my main talking point on that. So. Hey, they'll have a time.
Let's get some, not anymore because the Clippers got that new stadium or dome that they built that no one goes to games at. So
really,
perfect. Good job,
Clippers.
Oh, dude, I've been hearing it's empty lately. I've been hearing it's empty. So
they don't have no one though, right? They don't. They trade. I mean, people or they let
everyone
people
loves
walk.
To watch James Harden play basketball, right?
Oh, he's the only dude on the Clippers?
I mean, Kawhi ain't playing, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to keep silent on that one. I'm keep silent. Let's go to the awards for week. What are we in? Week 11 going into week 12 here. Almost to Thanksgiving. We're getting real close here. Starting with the Tukwa Gamer of the Week Award. Mine's going to go to a guy that, you know, Jody doesn't like. He likes his backup. He became the starter, and he guaranteed that the Colts would be better when he was the starter. And guess what? They sucked. And they went back to Anthony Richardson. And now, after being benched, taking a lot of heat for a few weeks, he comes back. He leads the Colts to a one-point win in the Meadowlands, went 20 for 30, 272 yards, one touchdown, added 32 rushing yards and two touchdowns. Great performance from him, including leading the Colts on a two-minute drive. And scoring the game winner with 46 seconds left. Huge day for Anthony Richardson. Gotta feel good for that kid. He's getting back on track. Who needs Joe Flacco, bro? Who needs Joe Flacco?
He Gamer. Does. He needs Joe Flacco to learn some things, to sling the rock. He wasn't no
to learn how to throw picks,
bro. This dude wasn't throwing for well. He I don't think he still has. I guess he hasn't thrown more than 20 completions all year. The only thing good for him is he throws bombs, which inflates the yards, because the dudes are running 50 yards downfield, and you know, and these are just facts that I'm stating. So I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying the ball is not consistent, and I don't know who they're playing this week. But at this point, you're making me take them because I don't like this.
Let's go, A Rich, baby, A Rich.
But that's enough on that guy. I'll move over to my Tuca Gamer of the Week. We got Joe Mixon in the Battle of Texas last week. Sunday. Was that Sunday night? I don't remember if it was Sunday or Monday. But
Monday night.
Yeah, see, I did that all weekend. The Sunday and Monday, I was just getting them.
They run together. They've definitely run together.
And so my guy finished 20 carries, 109 yards, rushing with 3 touchdowns, and then got another 2 catches for 44 yards against the Cowboys. Just like we've talked about earlier, broken down, hanging on by strings. They just, I don't know. Hey, but they won in Jerryland. Add them to the list.
All right. So we got Jody's dog of the week. We got.
This week I'm rolling with Taysom Hill. The man went nutty. Everyone's like, bro, Taysom Hill game. Who would have expected it? Yada, yada, yada. We're here with 7 carries, 138 yards, with 3 rushing touchdowns, and then another 5 catches for 50. He also had 2 throws in there. It was like, I don't know.
I think one was a touchdown and one was a pick. Yeah. Perfect Taysom Hill stat line, bro.
So my guy literally dogged, did everything last week for the boys, so. That's the man.
Hey, good for him, man. Good for him.
Next up, we got the minor setback for a major comeback. Looks like we got some more NFC North talk coming up. What you got for us?
I like what I saw from Caleb Williams and the Bears this past week. They changed play callers, Thomas Brown, former Rams assistant to Sean McVay. Had 1 year as the Panthers play caller before that whole staff got fired. Like that he's kind of getting another shot here. Think he's a bright dude. They did lose their 4th game in a row. But what mattered more to me than the final result of that game was what their offense looked like and what Caleb Williams looked like. He led them on what should have been a game-winning drive until the field goal attempt was blocked. That's a minor setback and what could be a major comeback down the stretch here. I like them, what I saw so much that I like them this week at home against the Vikings to get a win and finally get off the schneid here. Maybe put themselves back in the conversation for that last wild card spot in the NFC. It's going to be tough because right now you're chasing, obviously you're not going to get the Lions for the division. And the Packers and Vikings are still in play for that division. You're going to have trouble catching them. But you're competing with the other NFC West teams and the Commanders for kind of that 7th playoff spot, more than likely. And, you know, if they can get off and get some wins here, maybe they put themselves, because their defense is fantastic.
Yeah, and they've been rock solid all year.
They could put themselves in a spot where maybe they can sneak in. So I don't think the Bears are completely out of it. I like what I saw. Yes, they've lost 4 in a row, but I think they're kind of getting back to what was working for them early in the season, and that I like them at home against the Vikings this week to come back.
Yeah, I was thinking on taking that before. I didn't even know you had for this. I just, the ones that I'm not included on, I just kind of glaze over, like, oh, we'll figure out later what he's talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Vikings Bears line I saw, and I thought about taking the Bears as well, just because, like you said, in Chicago, I was I think that's also like another 3.5, maybe 4.5. Let me pull it up real quick.
For the Vikings?
I don't know.
Ooh.
But the weather was another key factor in that. I heard it's supposed to snow out there. The they they talk about it on like the Barstool podcast. That's like, oh, weather's changing, yada yada. So I was like, kind of makes sense. Vikings are in a dome, Sam Darnold. But the line on that game comes out to, oh man, don't make me log in. I'm just trying to see lines. I'm not trying to bet. Oh, this will tie in on your next one too. I'll save it. But speaking of bets, yeah, 3.5 for the Vikings on the road.
Yeah, see, I like the Bears. I do, especially with that. If you're one of those people that likes to spend money to make money, I would spend the money on the Bears this week.
Yeah.
Just me.
Yeah, so that kind of like reassures that train of thought too for me, but they're not in my second down, so.
All right. The no cap hats off award this week goes to the entire Chargers versus Bengals game. That thing was one giant no cap hats off. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow were incredible. Obviously, Justin Herbert more so in the first half, Joe Burrow more so in the second half. Both those dudes are just problem solvers. The Chargers looked like they're going to run away with it until the Bengals came all the way back. Looked like the Bengals could win in the second half. And then no one knew how to drive
the ball.
Some missed field goals and all that shenanigans. And then all of a sudden, Justin Herbert's leading the Chargers on a big time drive. And instead of settling for the field goal, they just go win it on a touchdown, walk it off. And J.K. Dobbins, yeah, hits a game over. So big win for the Chargers, I think, because that definitely feels like the kind of game that in the past they would have lost.
Yeah, they
big loss for the Bengals, because that is the kind of game they have been losing this year. That's why they're 4-7. You know, I heard the joke this week on another one of our favorite podcasts, the Ryan Russillo podcast, think made by both Russillo and Todd McShay himself. Both said Bengals best 4-7 team they've ever seen, and that might be the case because they just are in every game. They just keep losing in these close games, and now they put themselves in that hole in the first half, and that's really more or less why they ended up losing that game, more so than some missed field goals. But I think the Bengals, it's just a weird year for them. The Chargers coming through in that game, I think, is a huge confidence booster. I like what I'm seeing. You know, I'm a big Harbaugh fan. The Harbaugh Bowl is going to be fun. John is 2-0 against Jim, so we'll see if Jim can finally get him this year.
And Jim's older brother, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, little bro keeps beating older brother. So we gotta, you know, Jim is probably sitting there, you know, the squad probably wants it for Jim.
I mean, he's even got the ring over him, bro. That's tough.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a...
But back to that, the Chargers-Bengals game. Johnny in the middle, I think they were down at 21 at some point. Either way, it was a big deficit. And Johnny's like, "Hey, what's the line on the Bengals to win right now?" And I was like, +800. He was like, "Put some money on that." I was like, "All right." So I put three bucks on there, see what happens. And towards the end of the game, I was like, "Bro, it's gonna happen." And then next thing you know, they can't move the ball. You're like, "Bro, what's going on here?" And then they lost. I was like, "Well, good thing it's only $3.
yeah. The $3 was worth the fun of winning.
it was looking good for a while, and then it's like, oh no, they can't even throw the rock right now.
They can't do it. All right. The Strahan Munoz Big Fella Award. Jody, we'll let you go first. Ooh. Who is your Munoz half of this award?
All right. So I got Frank Ragnow on the Lions. He's number 77. So when I saw this, I was like, "Oh, this guy is filling in. You know, plug and play. We need a center." But apparently, that's just his chosen number at the position, which makes no sense to me. That's normally a tackle number, let alone the center's always rocking something in the 50s. So hats off to him for snagging that number and being able to hold on to it. Because everyone's probably throwing
not a premier center number, according to
definitely
Jody.
Not. It's not. I'm telling you, if you think of a center, you think of 56 or maybe like 58, something weird.
Okay. But
look, the way it works in my head, 50 something, preferably 56, center. Guards are rocking a 60 something, probably 62. And then, like I said, tackles are in the 70s. You normally see a left tackle at 77. So, like I said, hats off to this guy for keeping his number. because I'm sure people are throwing dollars at him saying, hey, I need that out here.
Okay. All right.
But he was good all around. Great. He got the early game. Let's just start off there because my man was done before the fourth quarter, just like the rest of the team, because they smoked him. He plays through the whistle. He was having plenty of plays where he would either be like guarding a dude and see the pile up. He'd go and give him the extra shove. He'd get to the second level and driving dudes in the ground. We got the pass pro. He had the arm extension, of course. But it's tougher when you're the center because, I mean, you got to snap the ball, get up. Someone's already in your face. But luckily for him, they were lined up on the guard, and then he'd have to get to work. So a little bit easier in that front. And I wrote down he gets to the second level consistently. So in the run game, definitely. He would either just go straight there because the dude is lined up, like I said, on the guard, or he'd be able to like get the little help and then kick out to second to the linebacker. And so, yeah, the run game was working phenomenally. I mean, Knuckles and Sonic out there were putting in the work. that catch that Jahmyr Gibbs had was insane, where he took it outside, came back in. I thought he was in the house, that one, brother. Great game all around for the Lions.
Truthfully, that Lions team, when you look at their success the last couple of years, I think it starts with their O-line, man. I mean, Frank Ragnow's been doing it at a high level at center for a while. You got Penei Sewell, who obviously gets a lot of credit out there, which he should. He might be the best tackle in the NFL. He's definitely the best right tackle. He might be the best tackle overall. Taylor Decker, like that.
What about Trent Williams?
Trent Williams is getting a little older. I think I'd take Sewell right now.
Would you move him? What if you move him to left? And you move? What if you flip flop him?
He's
a little older. He would be better on the right side.
I mean, truthfully, some dudes are not able to play both sides. It is a completely different world, right to left.
That's very true.
Like that's why Sewell has never played left, because he's elite at right. I mean, you don't need to make a good thing, you know, not good. I mean, the one guy who has had like incredible success with that is Tristan Wirfs, which makes him so impressive because he went from right to left and he's just as good at left as he was at right. And Penei Sewell is such an athlete. You probably could do it with him, but I'm just saying he's definitely the best right tackle in the NFL. He might be the best overall tackle in the NFL. Just saying. But that entire Lions O-line puts on a clinic every week of how to block whatever it is they're doing. So, shout out to them. Credit to them for sure. The straight hand half of this award goes to Nick Bonito from the Denver Broncos. He had a week for the Broncos in their blowout win over the Falcons. 7 total tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, which, by the way, ESPN has a new stat that I figured out. It's called stuffs. And if it's a tackle for loss in the run game, they count it as a stuff, because tackles for loss technically include tackle for loss in the run game and sacks.
Yeah. I was going to say
so he had the tackle 4 for overall, loss
game, it's a sack.
Yeah, 4 overall tackles for loss, but 2 tackles, 2 stuffs. So more than you know. Guy was virtually unblockable in the run game and passing game all day. He just lit them up off the edge. So shout out Nick Bonito. He's now top 5 in the NFL in sacks right now. So good day for him.
Yeah, it's nice for the young. Oh, I don't know how old he is. I'm not going to say young gun, but just sounds like a young with the Bonito. I don't know.
Bonito.
The last name is throwing me off. But next up, we got our Who's Cooking Award. This week, I kind of touched on it earlier, but Jared Goff, man. He was cutting up the Jaguars D like Loranna Bobbitt with 24 for 29, 4 touchdowns for 412. And then he also had 4 rushes for 21 yards. My man was getting the scrambles off like it was nothing, bro. It was kind of wild to see. At one point, I just got the line was just plowing him. You know what I mean? And so at some point, I kind of just stopped watching the linemen. I started watching the game. And I was like, man, this dude is Amon Ra open. Amon Ra. Oh, let's hit the check down of this fool. Like I said,
Jared Goff is a surgeon when you give him the O-line that he's got right now. It's the same thing with the Rams, man. You give him time, dude's a surgeon. Smart, efficient football player at quarterback. I mean, he does things
really, really well. He does it the right way. I've always been a fan of Goff, even when we traded him. Still a big time fan and supporter of his because he's a dude. On the opposite end of it, I've got Geno Smith, 25 for 32, 221 yards, 29 rushing yards, and the game winning rushing touchdown.
Ooh.
His he struggled a little bit early in that game, kind of middle of that game, I should say. But his 3-minute drive to win the game against the 49ers was a masterclass in like 2-minute drill. He's elevated the Seahawks ceiling with his play. Their offensive line, on the other hand, is not very good. Like both their tackles, inconsistent, hurt. They're playing with different dudes. They have a new center. Like it's just up front been a mess for them all year. And Geno has just been good enough to get them to this 5-5 spot and have the opportunity down the stretch to earn a playoff berth. Truthfully, if they don't have him, I don't know where. I think they'd be a pretty bad football team because their defense has been kind of inconsistent too. DK Metcalf's been in and out of the lineup. I was going to say,
it's been like him and JSN because DK hasn't been in the game.
You put all that together, and he's having a great year. He's raised the Seahawks ceiling for sure. And I think that 2-minute drive was a huge thing for the Seahawks in general to get that win against the Niners and kind of get them back on the winning track. So, cooking up a steak over there for Gino.
There we go. Yeah, we got two boys on the grill. You know what I mean? Just making the best food possible. But one dude who wasn't. Or actually, I guess I have two this week. Kind of collective unit. I went for the Boo Boo Evans Award. I went with the backup running backs in Atlanta. Just you kind of touched on it with Nick Benito. They just couldn't do nothing. They only scored, I think, 6 points or something versus the Broncos.
Yeah.
And Tyler Allgeier only had one catch for -1 yards, and the other backup, Jace McClellan, had 8 carries for 15 yards versus the Broncos D. Bijan had like an okay day. I think he had like a total of 70 yards or something. Not anything too crazy, especially with the whole team as a whole. They couldn't really move the ball. And like I said, with the drop off from Bijan and the other two backup running backs, his squad, it wasn't holding up their end, so. And that's why they're my Boo Boo Evans this week. No, you lost your mic, bro. I see you say I like it, but your mic. Nah, I don't know. Something's gone.
Yo.
There it is.
On.
There you go. You hit a button on the keyboard?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I did. But. I like the Boo Boo. I mean, it's not great, you know, to be the Boo Boo Evans Award winner, but I think you nailed it. Unfortunately, had to rely on Tyler Allgeier in a fantasy football. You know the league. The flowers the for Algernon, Algernon. Not a great year for that crew over there. We're managing though. We're getting through it. We're okay. We're fantasy. Almost 500, man. With freaking Pacheco out all year, man, and JT Jonathan Taylor being out a bunch, Malik Nabers being out a bunch. I mean, man, we are managing
that.
We are managing that
because apparently there was a stat I seen that's like, when Anthony Richardson compared to Flacco's and his points just big difference. But no, I'm five. I'm fantasy man. If I make it to the playoffs, I'll have a chance, but if I don't make it to the playoffs, it's just I'm cooked. I'm five. I'm even across both fronts, and then the other league, I'm just smoked. I think I've only won 2 games. It's all bad.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so we've got the turnover on downs, and it's been a while since we've been able to do this. You know, down the stretch of my football season as a coach, I did not have the time to kind of dive into NFL tape like I might normally. But now that our season's over, I can kind of get back into it. And one of the things I noticed this week, huge trend in the NFL. You know, we've talked so much about two high safeties, so much, man. Mm-hmm. And what teams are doing to attack it. You know, NFL defenses have gotten smarter about saying you're not going to get the explosives that you want, right, in the passing game. So teams really have done a very good job of creating more explosives in the run game, right? And everybody kind of defines those explosives, you know, by
yardage a little differently. But for me, you know, an explosive pass is a 20-plus yard pass. An explosive run is a 12-plus yard run, right? So teams are getting those explosive runs in creative ways. So one of the ways that a lot of teams are doing it, right here, the Steelers come out, and they've got two tight ends on the field, two receivers, and one running back. So it's 12 personnel. But if you look at this just on the, you know, start of it, kind of looks like a spread set. You mean, you've got the tight end kind of on the hip. We always called this PSO. You got the stacks out here with the receiver and the tight end stacked behind him. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, when you motion that tight end back in, now it's a two-back look, right? Under center, eye, old school eye. Mm-hmm. It's pro eye, but instead of the tight end on, he's off and he's on the hip. So that gives you more flexibility. Super diverse formation because you end up basically like three back there with eye and an offset guy on the hip and then those two receivers. And what you catch the Ravens in is you'll notice they're going to stay in a too high shell, right?
Yeah.
So if you went back 20 years ago, there's no way that an NFL team sees three back, pro eye offset versus too high. There's no way you're lining up too high versus that. They're not, especially in the red zone. We're at the 20 or near the red zone. We're at the 27-yard line going in. No way, right? So here's what you get now. The Steelers, they get into this set. Ravens don't adjust that motion at all because they're in zone and they're going to stay in their too high look. Okay. First, you're going to get that motion by the offset tight end. He's going to motion all the way across. That's Darnell Washington, who might as well be a freaking offensive lineman with how big he is. Yeah. You're going to get basically split zone toss, right, with the back leading, the fullback that motioned in originally leading this way. But because Darnell Washington gets such a great block backside, Najee Harris is going to cut it back, right? And now all of a sudden you find yourself on the 15-yard line, and guess what? We start at the 27, we get to the 15, that's a 12-yard run, explosive run play, right? And he gets all the way to the safety, that two-high safety, before he's ever even touched. This is a thing of beauty. I mean, just look at the box numbers, right? You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 offensive linemen, 6, 7 with those two offset backs versus a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 man box. So it's 7 for 7. You got a hat on a hat. And that's why the first person to make contact is the safety who's sitting at 12 yards before the snap. All right, just look at this thing. It's a thing of beauty. We got hat for hat. We're doubling, comboing up, right? Getting bodies on bodies. And again, the first guy who can make a tackle is the backside safety, and that's why this thing goes for 12 yards. So in theory, right, an NFL team is sitting there saying, okay, we keep too high safety, too high shell, we're stopping explosives. But if you're a good offense and you're smart and you use motions and shifts to your advantage, you say, okay, we'll give you what looks like spread, keep you in a too high shell. You can play zone all you want. And then we're going to motion people in. We're going to get back to old school football, Arthur Smith, and toss it and let's go. And let's go create an explosive in the run game. All right. So now NFL teams have decided on defense that they're willing to kind of live with that clearly rather than give up, you know, the one play touchdown. Hey, let's make sure that we are keeping things in front of us, make teams drive it. Eventually a team will make a mistake. Rather than allowing them the big explosive play to hit right now, hey, you got to be patient and drive it all the way down the field. And, you know, so this is where NFL teams, you know, the rubber meets the road. Oh, no. What happened?
Your camera's not there, but you're working.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I didn't know if we could still hear me. But this is where the rubber meets the road, where NFL defenses have decided we're willing to give up the explosive run, you know, the 12-yard run versus the 60-yard pass. All right.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at now in terms of offenses versus defenses and trends and all that. But it's good on NFL offenses that are staying patient and taking those easy gains.
Yeah, now That read by Najee to make the cutback was insane. It was
good read.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then the deep cut outside could have broke off a little bit too, which is kind of nice. So second down on the turnaround went down. So we got my bet for the week. We hit last week on the Rams minus 4.5. It was a close one, sweating that one out, but we got it. And this week we're taking a look at Detroit minus 7 versus the Colts. To me, this seems a little disrespectful to Dan Campbell and all the mans out there in Detroit, just because they've been smoking everyone. And apparently the Colts are a lot better than whoever they had last week, because last week I think they had like 13.5 or something crazy at the end of it. So I like that one for sure. Next up, I got Bucks minus 6 versus Tommy Cutlets. I just wrote down, need I say more? I had Tommy a bonus Cutlets. Pick. I had a bonus pick that I added in shortly before this recording of Tommy Cutlets under 200 passing yards in general. I don't know what his line's going to be. They haven't put one out, but I did the number crunching. He's only gone over 200 once out of his 6 starts. It was 239, I believe. 249, one of those two. And the rest has been under 200 for sure. Most of them, I think, weren't even over 180. So anything under 200, just hammer that thing. And then last up on the list, I tied back to that critical game, Eagles-Rams Sunday night. We got the over at 49. To me, I looked at it initially and said that's an under game. But another thing, I did some number crunching amount of times they played each other. And they've gone gone over on that number 4 out of the 5 times they played. So hashtag YOLO is what it says. But the ones I'm going to give you, I like Detroit minus 7 and Bucks minus 6 this week. I think those are both pretty good ones. If you want just one of them, go with the Detroit. I think that's far too easy. But again, Anthony Richardson cutting him up, so who knows. But I just think it's disrespectful, and they're gonna go and play their hearts out like they have been and put the work in.
Okay. All right. We're getting to the third down breakdown, and you know, every so often I cheat a little bit on this and I actually give you a fourth down. So that's what we're doing today, giving you a fourth down. We're talking Bills Chiefs. You know, I love that when we can hit every game, and I feel like we kind of have
is this
once
the
we hit
rushing
this.
Touchdown?
Yeah, so this is 4th and 2, right? Now the Bills are going for the jugular. They're up by 2 late in the fourth quarter. They know that a field goal, and he makes it a 5-point game. You give Patrick Mahomes the ability to go score a touchdown and beat you. So they're like, nope, we are going for this. We are going for the touchdown. We are going for the kill. We want the 9-point lead to just end it, right? Mm-hmm. So they run mesh. They put Khalil Shakir in the background, in the backfield. They got 2 back. They're going to run mesh, double mesh, right? So double unders from the receivers tight to the formation, under from Amari Cooper on the opposite side. All that traffic is happening. Meanwhile, you're releasing Khalil Shakir through the backside, you know, the opposite side B gap to the flat. And that's the read that Allen wants to throw. That's the guy he wants, right? In theory, he should come wide open, but watch how the Chiefs defend it. Okay. The Chiefs are very smart. Okay. They're sitting in zone coverage. The flat defender lets Shakir come through him. Right. Okay. Well, if Shakir's not open, then in theory, Amari Cooper should come open right behind him. Okay. Well, he's not open either because the hook defender is also disciplined. Everything is matched up correctly. There's nowhere for him to throw.
Yeah.
But guess what? He's Josh Allen, and they've got 5 blockers for 4 pass rushers. Right. He's going to make 1 guy miss, 2 guys miss, 3 guys miss, and run another over into the end zone for a touchdown to essentially end the game. From this angle, you can see the reads that Allen's going through really easily. Oh, no, I restarted it. But essentially, again, he's going Shakir, Cooper, run.
Look at this,
right?
Dude,
that's his read
in that air
play.
Before he even scores. Did you see that?
Yes, yes. Here you go. And the Chiefs are in a 1-high zone, right? Cover 3-4 under 3 deep. And they play this so well, which is why this sucks for them, because they played it perfectly. And then all of a sudden, you just watch Josh Allen take off. And there's nothing, you're not tackling him. You know, I mean,
mumbling,
you're not going to tackle him in space like that.
Stumbling.
And that's why NFL defensive coordinators hate with a true passion playing against quarterbacks who can run like that, because you can match everything up right. You could do everything about it right, but if your pass rush doesn't get him on the ground, you're screwed. He's going. And credit to Josh Allen for just being a playmaker. He's put that team on his back at a number of different times this year. He's played mistake-free. Truthfully, right now, if you ask me who is the MVP of the NFL, it's Josh Allen, because that's how well he's playing this year. It's his best season of his career with the least amount of talent at the skill positions. Getting Amari Cooper certainly helped, but if you look at the way he's elevating that offense right now, I think he's the MVP, especially relative to our expectations before the season started. Remember, we kind of thought that offense would drop off with a lack of talent at the receiver positions.
Yeah, I had him throwing over 10 and a, or maybe 12 and a half picks. I think he's only at 5 this whole year. And they're sitting at 9-2 right now. They got the Chiefs to 9-1 after that game. I think they're on a bye this week. But yeah, with the receivers, we had Keon Coleman at the start, Mac Hollins, I believe. Khalil Shakir, we were definitely iffy on that wide receiver front, and they've been performing. And then I think at one point they lost James Cook. He's back now, so just they're rolling at a perfect time for sure. And then last up on this turnover on downs, though, fourth down, I got the bad beat. So I seen one recently on Prize Picks for Brandon Aubrey, the kicker of the Dallas Cowboys. They only scored 10 points this week, so you can kind of see where I'm going with this. They had a goblin. Uh-huh. It's a little green dude where it's like, oh, it's like a sure thing kind of a thing where the prop is lower. You don't get a big of a payout, but because it's so expected to happen, you know. So his line was 1.5 field goals. He ended up not getting it because he missed I just looked it up on ESPN. So it said 40 to 49, somewhere in that range. He missed a 40-something yarder, but he made like a 64-yarder or something, according to Twitter, to the dude who was talking about it. So he missed on like a 5-leg parlay to only make double his money. I've seen another one, George Pickens, over 50. Now, I don't know if it was like just a set, like he's going to hit over 50, or if that was his actual line. But it was set at 48. Set at 50. He only got 48, so that dude was hurting. And then for me, I think I've talked about it before on Underdog, where I did like a bunch of touchdown picks where I got screwed over with Jaden Daniels. And so this week they had 50-yard catches. So I did another full 8-leg, and I missed on Travis Kelce, who got 8, and Garrett Wilson, who got 18. So I made like nothing on that bet, but hit on everyone else. I had Puka, I had Coop, those ones. Smashed those ones early on, especially the Puka. I think he had like 70 yards or something in that first half, which was nice. Who else was on there? Maybe Amon-Ra, along with like, I don't know who, but yeah, those were what I've really seen. The 50 yard props hurting everybody.
Nice. Okay, so that is it for our turnover on downs. Now we're gonna do a little check-in today. Now that we're 11 weeks through the season, we even got one week 12 game in, we're gonna talk about the Super Bowl contender tiers. All right, and these are kind of done in an order through the tiers as well from your boy. Organized these, thought about it a little bit. And the tiers are as follows. You have your true contenders. You have your could be real, could be fraudulent. You know, are they real or fraudulent? Have your could get hot, right? And then you have your long shots and your nopes, right? They're just a nope. They're just no, all right? So let's go through it. Number one, contenders. Okay. I've got the Lions, 9-1. They're playing really well.
The current favorite of the Super Bowl.
Nobody's beating them right now. I mean, the Buccaneers beat them, obviously, but in the last 6 weeks or so, no one's beaten these dudes. They're just killing everybody. They're finding different ways to win. The Texans game might have been the most impressive of all of them. So I really like them. The only thing you can be worried about is, are they peaking too early, basically? Are they the team that peaked too early this year? Number two, the Chiefs, 9-1. All right. Now, I actually don't think they've played their best ball despite being 9-1, which is kind of scary, especially when you know they've got Patrick Mahomes, who's like a grim reaper in the playoffs. Okay. So I really don't love that team, but the way the defense plays and then having Patrick Mahomes, I didn't love that team last year and they won the whole thing. So in truth, you got to keep them there until you see them lose it. Then I've got the Bills, 9-2. The Bills beat the Chiefs. You're asking yourself, why are the Bills not ahead of the Chiefs? I've seen Patrick Mahomes do it. I haven't seen Josh Allen do it. So that's it. That's really it. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry. I mean, that's just...
He's lost every time to Patty Mahomes. And in the regular season, he's beaten them.
Yeah, different animal. Yeah, that's what it is. He beats him in the regular season, hasn't beat him in the playoffs. We got to see it in the playoffs. That's what it is. Now we go to the real or fraudulent. So I only have three true contenders right now. The next tier, real or fraudulent. Right now, Ravens, 7-4. Big question about them, their secondary, right? Is that secondary going to like hold up in the playoffs? I don't know. They don't seem to hold up against anybody. They played well against Russ last week, but then all of a sudden the Ravens offense couldn't do anything for most of the game until they went and almost tied it. Lamar is a dude, but we also need to see him do something in the playoffs that he hasn't really done. Mm-hmm. So real or fraudulent, I don't know yet. Next, the Steelers at 8-3. The real question is for them is just quarterback.
Yeah, how long
do they have a guy on the roster in Russell Wilson or Justin Fields who can actually elevate them to the Super Bowl? Because the rest of their team is legit. And we said this, it's crazy because I said this before the season. I thought they might have the best defense in the NFL. That's proven to be pretty true most of the time. They offensively have the weapons. I mean, Najee and Pickens and Freiermuth and Washington, like all these dudes, Jalen Warren, like they have offensive skill talent. I know everyone's scared about the second receiver. Mike Williams has helped in that regard. I think they are legit there. Coaching, obviously, they're always going to seemingly have an advantage. It really comes down to real or fraudulent, the quarterback. That's the question. Is the quarterback real or fraudulent? And that's why they're here. The Chargers, 7-3. In truth, I think this team is real. I just don't know if they are ready to be Super Bowl contenders quite yet. I think they might be a couple pieces away in terms of talent, but Jim Harbaugh and Jesse Minter are going to elevate that team to the maximum capacity. Plus, you have Herbert. You can't count them out. And I think they are legit. You've seen some of the wins. They're obviously the record looks great. So they've won four in a row, I believe. And, you know, I think that makes them a legitimate threat. Next, the Eagles, 8-2. The Eagles have been playing good ball. I think have they won six in a row, five in a row, something like that?
I'll pull it up.
Keep going. But guess what the Eagles have been every year under Nick Sirianni after 10 games?
Apparently 8-2, if I had to guess.
8-2, all three seasons, 8-2, 8-2. Okay? You know, 2 years ago, they go to the Super Bowl. Last year, they lose in the wild card. Five games, okay. So last year, they lose in the wild card, and that seemingly carried over to the start of this year. I still don't trust this team. I still think there's a disconnect between head coach and quarterback. I think the hire at OC has helped them. Obviously, Vic Fangio has stabilized their defense. They're a much better defensive team than they were last year. Their secondary's better with the addition of Cooper DeJean and my man from Toledo, who I cannot think of his name right now.
Is that his last name?
Quinyon Mitchell, thank you.
Yes. Is it?
Yes. So adding those dudes to an already talented front seven, you know, and Vic Fangio's scheme has made that Eagles defense much better, which is why you might lean more towards the real side. But in totality, this team, I just don't really trust them yet.
I was going to say.
And they got. I think the rest of their season could go either way. Yeah, it could go either way. They're truly one of those. They're a flip of the coin.
This is their schedule. They beat the Packers 34-29. Lost 22-21 to the Eagles. or sorry, the Falcons, the other Dirty Birds. We got them beating the Saints by 3, 15-12. And then they got smoked by the Bucks, 33-16. Snug by the Browns, 20-16. Beat the Giants, beat the Brakes off them, 28-3. Beat the Bengals, 37-17. Jags, 28-23. Beat the Cowboys, 34-6. And then beat the Commanders, 26-18. Now, what does this all have in common? A lot of those teams are not doing well this year. Only one is the Commander, and the Commanders also have played pretty much the same teams. So
yeah,
they're kind of in a let me puff my chest out a little bit era. But realistically, it's like the other teams they've been playing. You know, they haven't been doing too hot.
Yeah, in truth, wins against the Cowboys, Giants, Saints, Browns, those don't move Jaguars. Those games are not moving me to say, oh, you're a really good football team. It's like, okay, you won those five games. You should win those five games. And your other five games, you're 3-2. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so we've established you're a good team. I don't know if you're a great team. I don't know if you're a real contender. We'll see. And we're going to see down the stretch. Next up, we got the Vikings, 8-2. Okay. The Vikings started off hot, 5-0. They lost 2 in a row. Then they've won 3 in a row. But in those 3 wins, they have not looked great against the Colts and the Titans and who else did they beat? Gosh, off the top of my head, I can't remember it. But they, in truth, they haven't looked as good since the 5-0 start. Their last 5 games have not been nearly as impressive despite winning 3 in a row. Sam Darnold's come back down to earth a little bit. Say it again.
Jaguars 12-7. They snuck by him.
Yeah, exactly. So you've won 3 games in a row against the AFC South, which is not good. All right. So, again, they're kind of like the Eagles. It's like, okay, we've seen some good stuff. There's some proof of concept, but also you've played a lot of bad teams, and let's see if you can do it against good ones. I think this game against the Bears for them is a big game this week, just like the game for the Eagles against the Rams is a big game. You know, you got to prove some stuff. I can see both of them losing. I think both of them will lose. I think on both those teams, I'm leaning more towards fraudulent, despite still liking both of them to be a playoff team. The Texans, 7-4. The Texans are weird. They were everyone's, you know, kind of sexy Super Bowl pick out of the AFC coming into the year. The record doesn't look bad at 7-4, but in truth, they've given some games away. They've also snuck by and won some games. I mean, they're kind of inconsistent right now.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what to think of them. They've also had some, you know, stuff with Nico Collins being out and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Need to see more from them. And then lastly, the Cardinals. Cardinals are at 6-4, currently leading the NFC West. The Cardinals, again, they were like 2-3 or 2-4, maybe. I think they've won 4 in a row. Are they just on a hot streak? In the middle of the year, they've kind of run into some, I mean, they beat the Jets and the Bears. Like, you know, okay, again, they played some bad teams. Are they going to come back to earth a little bit? Kyler's playing well for now. The defense is playing good enough. I need to see more from the Cardinals as well to know if they're a real or fraudulent team. Again, with them, I think I lean more towards fraudulent.
Ooh, them missing the playoffs? As fraudulent, or you have 7 seed sneaking in at fraudulent?
I have them missing it.
Ooh,
right now.
Okay.
Okay, here's the list of teams that could get hot. All right? Could get hot. The Packers. We just mentioned they've been kind of really down. I know their record is 7-3, so you're asking, like, really? 7-3 puts them in that third tier? If we're being honest with ourselves, they won some games with Malik Willis.
True.
Jordan Love has not looked good. They've just kind of been up and down. They made a great play to block the field goal at the end last week, but they got lucky that they beat those Bears. They've had a few games like that. They haven't been the team that I was expecting them to be, despite the record looking good. It's 7-3, okay? But that's why they're in a spot where I think they could get hot and be the team I think they are. And they might end up, you know, if they did it the right way, they could end up not just winning the division, but winning the NFC, right? So they're a team to look out for. I don't think they'll catch the Lions, but I think it's possible with their schedule and with that, what that team could be. So they're a team that could get hot. The Commanders, 7-4. Young team, started out really well. kind of going through a lull. They lost last Thursday to the Eagles in a game that they really needed to win if they wanted to hold on to that divisional lead, and now they don't have it. They're more of a wild card looking team right now. But I really love Jaden Daniels. That offense is fun. Dan Quinn's got that defense rolling. They could get hot as well. Next up, I've got the Rams at 5-5. Okay, O-line, not been healthy. Finally getting to health. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, weren't healthy for a good chunk of the start of the year. Okay, now you got both of them back, and they're both playing well in the last couple weeks. Matthew Stafford, still a soul-snatching, savvy veteran. Kyren Williams and Blake Corum finally forming kind of the duo that you thought you might get when they drafted Corum in the draft, and you're starting to see, you know, those two getting legitimate, you know, carries, and Kyren Williams finally created some explosive runs last week. Defensively, that young D-line is what we thought it would be. The secondary still needs some work, some questions, but they got a tough schedule here, and they got and they're going to have to go win at least 5 of the next 7, I would think, to get in. So they got to get hot. They got to get hot, basically, to get in. The same thing could be said for the 49ers. Almost exact same story, right?
Missed out.
A lot of dudes hurt for the year. They get McCaffrey back.
Ricky Pearsall couldn't even start the year, like all over for the offensive skill position.
And defensively, Bosa kind of being in and out. I mean, they're still kind of having some of those problems where it feels like the Rams are getting healthier. The Niners are still kind of, you know, missing some dudes. But that team, you can't count them out. They're in the Super Bowl last year for a reason. Juwan Jennings has been incredible. If Brock Purdy is actually okay, which we don't know right now, this team also has the ability to get hot, get in as a wild card, or even winning the division, and then be a tough out in the playoffs. We've seen that before. Seahawks explained all of that with Geno Smith, what he's done. Defensively, they're starting to look better, even though they've been inconsistent. They are another team, could get hot, primed, and ready to do it. So I think the entire NFC West is kind of in that spot. And then you've got the Falcons. Falcons are 6-5. Felt like they were primed to run away with that division. Now, 6-5, you know, the Bucs are 4-6. We're going to talk about them in a second. But the Falcons, you know, they got to, if they can get their stuff together defensively, I think they're good enough on offense that they're going to put themselves in position, not only to win the division, but they could get hot and put themselves in a decent spot in the playoffs. So they need to get back on track. I mean, I think they've lost 2 in a row, so they need to get a win here and put themselves back on track to getting hot.
Saints and Broncos.
Now we got the long shots. The long shots. The Buccaneers. I almost put them in the could get hot category because if you look at their schedule, they could go rattle off some wins here. But at 4-6 and still missing some dudes, they really, I think Mike Evans is hopefully coming back this week. If that happens the right way, they could be a team that maybe I should have put in the could get hot tier.
They definitely could get hot. They got Giants, Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, the toughest one so far, Cowboys, Panthers, Saints.
Exactly. They have a shot that they could get hot enough. They might even be able to catch the Falcons for the division if things went the right way. Now, they probably have to go 6-1 and then have to hope the Falcons go 4-2. You know, or I'm sorry, 3-3, because they need the Falcons to be 9-8 and they have to be 10-7 to win that division. If they both finish 10-7, they lose the division. So they got to go 6-1 and hope the Falcons go 3-3 down the stretch, and that's how they catch them. Now, you know, I think that's very possible. We just read it off. I think it's likely they go 6-1 because the teams on their schedule are awful besides the Chargers. So they really could get hot. I really thought about putting them in that spot. But like I said, there's just a, even if they get hot and win the division, do we really think Baker Mayfield and the Bucs without Chris Godwin, I mean,
they beat
are
the
coming
Eagles.
Out of the NFC? Are they going to come out of the NFC, though? They beat the Eagles and the Lions. That's the thing. They did. They have those two wins on their schedule who are currently the 1-2 seeds. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is still a long shot in my mind. There's a lot has to happen. I couldn't quite put them in the get hot category, but I thought about it. I really did. I toyed with them. The next team here that I also toyed with was the Dolphins. They're a long shot, but they could get hot. They could. It's close. They're getting healthy at the right time. Tua's back. They've won 2 in a row. They really could do this right. Now, once again, I kind of think the Dolphins are going to get hot and sneak into the playoffs. But in truth, we've seen what happens when they get to the playoffs. They don't play well in the cold weather, and they're just not a team that's built for that. Their speed slows down. Nothing goes their way, and they're not tough enough to win in the playoffs, which is why I can't put them in the – they're still a long shot, even if they make the playoffs.
Here you go. First next up in this road is the Dolphins-Packers in the frozen tundra on Thanksgiving. So we'll get a little taste of the cold early on for them.
Next up, I've got the Broncos. And you're saying to yourself, well, the Broncos are 6-5. They just blew out the Falcons. And you have the Falcons and could get hot, but you have the Broncos in long shot? Yes. And here's the difference. The Broncos defense is unreal, but Bo Nix is still a rookie. And I still am not sold on him saying he's going to go win road playoff games. Because here's the deal. They ain't winning the division. They're not going to catch the Chiefs. So that means you're asking Bo Nix to go on the road and win in the playoffs. That's not happening. I'm sorry. It's not. It's not. And Joe Burrow?
He did that.
As a rookie?
I don't know. Was it year two?
I think he got to the Super Bowl in year two or three. Can't remember right now.
Never mind then.
I think it was year two. It was year two. Yeah. Just don't think Bo Nix is that good, though I do think the Broncos have a shot at the playoffs. Next up, the Bengals, the team we just talked about. Best 4-7 team in the history of football. if they could, even if they can win out, though, you're talking about 10-7, that won't guarantee you a playoff spot in the AFC. And I mean, they still have to play the Ravens, or I'm not the Ravens, the Steelers again, and or twice. And I think they got to play the Browns one more time.
No. The Ravens one games more are tough. Time. They play the Steelers next week. They got Cowboys, Titans, Browns. Broncos,
they've played the Ravens twice. Again.
No. They just played them.
Yeah, they've played the Ravens twice.
Oh, I
know. They've already played them twice.
I thought you said they have to.
No.
My bad.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. The schedule's tough. I just don't see it. Long shot. Colts, 5-6. We talked about them. They've had the up and down play at quarterback. They're 5-6. That division isn't great. They're only two games back of the Texans. Could they win the division? Sure. Will they? Probably not. And even if they get in, they're not winning playoff games. I'm sorry. The Bears, 4-6. Okay. I think the Bears could get hot. I think the Bears could put themselves in position to fight for a playoff spot. Once again, even if they get there, Caleb Williams isn't going on the road right now and winning games. I'm sorry. That's just where I'm at. Now, all of those teams are not out of it, but they're long shots. Now, these are the teams that are just out of it, in my opinion. They're just nope. All right. Saints, Panthers, Giants, Cowboys, Jets, Patriots, Raiders, Browns, Titans, Jaguars. Those teams are packing it in. They are not winning
hoping for that
in the playoffs. The Saints have gotten two wins in a row, but that's the classic new head coach bump, right? The interim head coach bump. That won't last. That'll wear off. The deuce dropper, as they're calling him, or the plugger, the plunger, whatever. It's doing a good job, but... I don't think it lasts.
Isn't
it
the Rizzler?
The Saints are who we thought they were.
Something Rizzy.
Oh no!
Right, that's his name.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Okay. All right. All this to say, here's where I'm at, Jody. Going into week 12. Right now, here's what I think. In the NFC, I see the Rams finishing 10-7, winning that division. Getting the 4 seed, I think they beat the Packers and the Commanders to get the NFC Championship. I see the Lions finishing at 14-3, getting the 1 seed in a bye, and they beat the Eagles in round 2. And so we got Rams at Lions in the NFC Championship. That's what I have right now.
Okay.
In the AFC, I've got the Ravens, 13-4, finishing strong, 6 wins in a row. They beat the Chargers and the Chiefs. They go to Kansas City and beat them this year. They're at the Bills for the AFC Championship, who get the 1 seed and 14-3, and then beat the Steelers in round 2. So I got Ravens at Bills in the AFC. All right, so that's what I've got for my AFC and NFC championships right now. Rams at Lions, Ravens at Bills. As I said, I think our playoff teams in the AFC –
to fill it out besides the Rams and the Lions are the Packers, Commanders, Eagles, and Falcons.
Okay.
In the AFC, I've got, obviously, besides the Ravens and the Bills, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Dolphins sneaking in as the seventh seed. That's what I've got right now.
All right. Oh, Dolphins, huh? I see.
Yeah,
I see.
Not the Broncos. Not your beloved Broncos. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not mad at that. I
think they're going to falter down the stretch.
Different story a week ago.
But we're going to finish up this week's
sir
banger of the week. What you got?
All right. So this one I kind of changed like three different times. So my final one that I came up with that I remembered after forgetting is the Juneberry Red Bull. I don't know if you had that one. It's like the dark blue can. Pretty fire. I like that one a lot. Hmm. They just released the
Red Bull like, guy.
Okay. Yeah, no. I mean, nowadays, yeah. It's like I go to work. I'm like, I'm tired, man. You know, 10-hour days walking on your feet.
Red Bull.
It gets a lot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, Juneberry Red Bull. That's my go-to at the moment for Red Bull, at least. So that's my banger.
Way to go, dude. Well, I think that does it for week 11 going into week 12. We told you the games to watch. We told you how we're feeling about these teams and tiered them up. And in truth, we're real excited. I think the plan will be to record the day after Thanksgiving next week. So sure. We'll come to you kind of after week 12 and the good slate of games to start week 13. And we'll talk about what happens on Thanksgiving as well, I'm sure. And get you ready for the Black Friday game.
Oh, yeah.
And the rest of week 13. So, sorry for the technical difficulties with the camera over here. I'm not sure what's going on with that. You mostly just heard me instead of saw me today, but we'll get on that. We'll get a IT to fix it. And then, we'll see you a week from now. Appreciate all the love and support. Happy holidays. Enjoy the turkey day with the fam, Jody. And let mom, brother, nieces, nephews know that I say hi.
Bro, I got you.
Sending them love on Thanksgiving. And let's just have a great week, dude.
It's time great to week have of football. Week. Yeah, especially that. But till then, our guy Ray Ray, taking us out.
Working all year, look into my eyes, there's hunger, there's no fear. Fucking like y'all ready, bro, I promise you we coming. Anybody that want it can get it, play it's nothing. We ain't never worried by listening to the chatter, cause when we get on the field, we know that none of it matter. I've been through a lot, man, can't nothing faze me. Got the student section and the stands going crazy. Everybody turning up, we putting on a show. Boomers, we be popping in the people, yeah, they love. 951 be the city, never change. We the Chaparral Boomers, everybody know the name. Let them see. Get your chain snatched like a key crab tree. Squad full of goons, be ready to bring the pain. Show them how we do, we about to let it bang. About to go and get it, kill them with the swag. Trying to act tough, they be looking, we just laugh. See them getting mad, cause they know we ain't stressed. We prepared for this moment, we done passed all the tests. Been through the rain, been through the struggle. We ain't never break, we just put on more muscle. Put on for the city, man, running with the pride. Friday night lights when the Pumas come alive. Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, let it bang, show them how Puma do it. Let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it. Put on for the city, that's really all that we do, yeah. Nothing to lose and a whole lot to prove. On the field late and I'm in the gym early. Overtime on my grind, I can see I'm worried. Put the pads on, we about to bring the boom. The Legion of Doom, everybody better make room. You can see the fumes from the fire. Product of the pain and the hunger and desire. Talking like you want it, man, I hope you ain't lying. Bottom line, we the Boomers, but we feeling like some lions. Dropping off heat at your feet every week. Everybody wanna be a beast till it's time to eat. Oh, we gon' see if you really bought it. Deacon, you can handle me, boy, I really doubt it. Putting in work. work, being steady with the grind. You ain't taking nothing, player, this is all mine. Throw your boomers up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that boomer pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show 'em how a boomer do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Blood, sweat, tears, time getting near. I've been saying that for so long, now it's here. Come through the whole chin, checking everybody. We just put them in the dirt, man, treat it like a hobby. Oops, I mean happy, L's can't have it. We ain't stand around waiting for nothing, we grab it. I remember putting in work all alone. Now my team with me and we all in the zone. Never giving nothing, so you better understand. We don't care about your plan, this is Boomer Pride Land. Get into the huddle, tell the fellas, turn it up. Fourth quarter coming, throw them double deuces up. Let them know what's up, man, the crowd never dying. Refy keep holding me, man, quit crying. Put your boomers up, show them Boomer Pride. Friday night lights when the boomers come alive. I throw your boomers up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Boomer Pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show them how a boomer do it. Let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, 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 let it bang.